Welcome to the Life Melbourne podcast. We're so glad you're joining us for another hope-filled message. We pray that you're encouraged by this powerful word from our Sunday service.
I'm really excited this morning because we get to carry on part two of this Common Sense series, as Danny was talking about, where we get to unpack the reality of living a financial free life, living a pathway to financial freedom. And so I'm not going to go over all of last week, but we are going to enable us to carry on. And then we've got the last week, next week, we're going to be answering a whole bunch of common questions when it comes to finances. So you don't want to miss week three, because it's just going to help answer some of the stuff that you might be like, but what about that? What about that? Let's get into that week three. But Pastor Paul and Pastor Luke unlocked it last week. And I had that picture, just quickly to set it up again. I really had a picture God gave me about people who have got like duct tape over their mouth, and they're sort of somewhat strapped up and bound up when it comes to the area of finances. And this whole series, where are you believing? Come on, we're going to pull the duct tape off and say it's the church, and talking about finances is not a taboo thing. We are not here to talk about how you give more. We're talking about how do we allow God to have more access in the areas of our heart that flow through to every area of our hand. But I really believe that through the keys of God's word and us working together, there is going to be an unraveling and an unwrapping and a new freedom that comes. I don't know if that picture's there. It's a bit disturbing. But at the same time, if we don't have God's principles at work in our life in the area of finance, the challenge is that's more what we look like than we realize. And so let's believe, come on, that through this, and I really entrust that you can make it to the course tomorrow night for the next few weeks and just get more understanding, more revelation, because again, we don't take up offerings in our services. You can ask the question, when was the last time a container went past your chair? Anybody remember a container going past your seat since you've been here at Sim Street? Anyone in the last 3 years remember a container that's gone past your seat? Anyone in the last 4 years? No one, because it's probably actually been 6 years since we last passed a container across a row. And that's not because we don't believe in tithes and offerings, but we believe giving out of a revelation. And therefore, I'm not going to pump you up to do something, because the next thing, somebody else will lower the pressure so you do nothing. But let's give from a place of understanding and God's word, and therefore it's something that we activate personally. Because kingdom principles release God's provision. That's the absolute truth of it. And our heart is that we don't live a substandard Christianity. Our heart is that we live a Christianity that has God's word aligning every area of our heart and our life. And who knows, that finance impacts every area of our life. And so therefore, it's a real key one to be talking to. So every couple of years, we have a moment like this. And so let's just jump straight into it. So the first kingdom principle. So then Pastor Paul talked about four ingredients that enable a pathway to financial freedom. Similar to concrete, it has four ingredients that enable it to build something, that then a foundation from that can be built something great. And we broke that down into stewarding, seeding, saving, and spending. All right, stewarding, seeding, saving, and spending. And this morning, we're going to jump in and spend some time talking around stewarding. Because stewarding is all about placing God's authority over the first and the rest when it comes to our finances. Letting Him be Lord in the area of our finance. And so stewarding relates to releasing God's authority in our financial world. So we're talking about tithing. And you say, well, what is the tithe? Well, the tithe is the first 10%. It's the 10%, and it is the first 10%. It's not the last 10%, because who knows? If you try and make it the last, you'll never make it fit, yeah. Right? It's the first, but the first sets up the rest. The first declares it's holy. The first says, God, I'm honoring you first, and then you can look after everything else. Who knows that God can do with our 90% what we can't do with our 100%? Anybody experience that? Which means every pay, every time we receive increase, we honor God with the first tenth. It's the tithe. We dedicate it to Him, and we're ultimately entrusting God to invoke His will and His ways and His heart's desire over our lives. Matthew 6:24 says this, no one can serve two masters. You'll either hate one or love the other, or you'll be devoted to one or you'll despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Money unsurrendered or unaligned to God's principles or His ordinances will always make us subservient to its power. Yeah. Always. And you go, nah, not really. I mean, I can still do both. No, you can't serve God or money. But yeah, but I don't serve it. No, you're probably more of a slave to it. Wes was here. If you were here in the business meeting on Monday night, had a phenomenal night, and I was catching up with Wes, and he goes, man, I love those 4 points. He lives in the business world. That's his kingdom purpose on life, is that business world, which revolves all around money. And he said this thing, he goes, if you don't put those 4 things in place, then you'll only have one S in your life when it comes to money. That's slave. It demands. Why? Because there's a spirit attached to it, and it's called a spirit called mammon. And we're going to jump into that later. But who knows? We don't have to be fearful of that, because when we honor God and let him to be Lord over it, therefore we have the authority over that, and we break through in that area. We don't become slaves in that area. You know, it's the same when it comes to Christ as the cornerstone. He's not another stone. He's the cornerstone. He's the first. You put him in first, and then everything aligns off that. You try put him in any other part of your life, and he's like, wrong position. I don't belong second. I don't belong down the line hoping everything else will measure back. No, it goes, put me first. I'm the cornerstone. And you watch everything else come into alignment. And that's why he says, come on, it's got to be the first. So we're going to jump into Malachi 3, 6 to 12. And we're going to break it down as we go. But there's going to be a lot of content, so I'm going to go pretty fast. But stick with me. But it basically starts in chapter 6, and it says this. It says, for I am the Lord, I do not change. Amazing that how many people say, oh, when it comes to tithing, it's different now. I am the Lord, I do not change. Why would you start this topic by mentioning those things? Why? Because we know at some time along the journey, it's going to be attacked. It's going to be told, it's going to be undermined. It's going to be said it's not relevant anymore. Tithing was a factor before the law, and Jesus spoke to it afterwards. It's a reality in the Old and in the New Testament. And so let's just go back to the fact of the first 4 words. He says, for I am the Lord. The term Lord in the Old Testament was a divine title of Yahweh. In the New Testament, Lord is most frequently used when it's in terms of Jesus Christ. In fact, it's used over 740 times to declare who Jesus is. He is Lord. Jesus is Lord, which basically means he's the one possessing control, authority, and power in our lives. I want to ask the question, is Jesus Lord? Jesus is Lord, but is he our Lord? Oh, he's my Savior. He's Messiah. He's friend. That's all great, but I want to ask you more importantly, is he Lord? He needs to be Lord in your life. He's not another part of your life. He's not an ornament you hang around your neck in your life. No, he is Lord. He is God. He is sovereign. He is over everything. And at the end of the day, every knee will bow and declare he is Lord. I love what Pastor Luke always says. He goes, he must be Lord of all, or he's not Lord at all. It's always great when you put Pastor Luke's name on tough little challenges. Stewarding is about giving God authority into our financial reality. I want to ask you, does he have authority over your material world? I thought it might be good to quickly just jump through 4 reasons we don't tithe. Is it good to address some of the reasons we don't? Okay, number one, we don't feel we have enough. When I pay my debt off, when I'm not a student, Craig, did you not see the petrol prices on the way to church today? Right? When the interest rates go back down, after I go on the holiday, get the new car, the new fit that I've been wanting because everybody else is wearing that, I better get it too. Once the school fees are paid, once the price of daily living's changed, listen to me, I'm not sitting here as someone who's immune to all of that stuff. That stuff's real in all of our lives. But I love this week on Monday, Easy, our youngest 5-year-old, he goes on Monday morning, he seriously hurt his ankle. Who knows, kids say they hurt themselves, but really, they just wanted a cuddle from mum. And so he's like, on Monday morning, he's like, mum, I can't go to school, my ankle's too sore. And I'm like, oh, mate. And we're like, well, mate, you're going. And we said, can you go to training, basketball training tonight? Like, basketball's life at the moment in our house. Can you go to basketball training? He's like, oh, yeah. Question. We say, oh, I can't afford to tithe. Yet your friend says to you, what are you doing Friday night? Let's go grab dinner. I can do that. Hey, we're all going down to Phillip Island. We're going to grab a batch. Oh, you don't call that. Sorry. We're going to grab a beach house. It's going to be awesome. It'll cost X amount. Let's go do that together. That'll be great. Count me in. I can't afford to tithe though. It's actually not about it's not a matter of lack. It's actually a matter of love. Izzy loves basketball, so therefore he'll endure what needs to be endured to play it. But he doesn't maybe love school as much as he loves basketball. But it's the same for us. Do we love God? He says, come on, if you love me, you'll obey me. But is the love at that level that we're willing to go, God, I know it's not easy, and I know it means I've got to say no to that, that, and that. I really want to do that, that, and that, but Lord, I love you. And doesn't he say, if you seek me first, I'll add all these other things to your world? He's not trying to make you have less. He's actually trying to let you know he can supply all. And then he gets the glory, we don't. You can say, thank you, God, for this. Thank you, God, for that. Rather than going, oh, gosh, God, I probably should have, but I didn't. So, come on, you can never afford to tithe until you tithe. And my God, who will meet all your needs according to the riches of his glory in Jesus Christ. To our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. If we don't give him room to move, his hands are tied. I want to see him move and then I'll... No, no, no. First, then. Do it first, then. Number two is we don't trust the church. Somebody don't say amen. But society's busy declaring, the church, you can't be trusted. All it wants is your money. And there might be different environments like that, potentially. I've not been in one of them, but I know others may have. And so as a leader in the church, I'm sorry for where it's been manipulated, where it's been misused, and where it's been something of a force of control in your life. That is not God's word. That's not his heart. He wants us to be cheerful givers. He does not want us to be obligated givers. And if you ever feel obligated, as 33 years that life's been built on, is if you ever feel manipulated, obligated, do not give. Let it only be something that flows from your heart. But we don't trust the church. Well, the good news here is that we are a church that is accountable for every single cent. We've always had a five-year plan and a forecast when it comes to finances. Not a dollar is spent before it's been budgeted. And those budgets have been signed off by three levels of approvals before one cent is spent. All of that is then measured back and we're accountable every quarter to where that's at and how that's going. Ask our department leaders. They will know very clearly. They've always asked, Craig, can we have more? Craig, we need more. But the reality is we fit within a margin that honors God and enables us to steward it really well. And I think that's really, really important. And we're not just spending it because there's a need. No, we need to make sure we do it very, very well. We're audited by unchurched organizations who want to find challenges and problems, and I think that's a good thing, and we've always stood clear. But what the Bible does say is that you can't judge things, but you can measure it on its fruit. So the good thing is if you look at the fruit of our house and of the church that God's planted you in, then you should be as well be encouraged about the fruitfulness of what God is doing. Come on, as a church, we've only ever been about seeing God's call and his purpose outworked in you and I, and also in this community and this nation he's placed us in. We're here to love the lonely, physically and spiritually feed the hungry, see marriages restored, which we're seeing, the lost found, the bound free, generations set up in his fullness, and see people on fire in his purpose, and we're seeing amazing things take place. Can I just say, there's two baptisms tanks on stage, because tonight there's 30 people getting baptized and we need more tanks to see people who are making decisions for Christ. We've grown 30% on 30% on then 45% in the last season. And by God's grace and his amazing spirit of everyone who calls life home and the faithfulness of those who do tithe, we are seeing what we're seeing. God is moving. He is multiplying. His spirit and his word is moving and he is Lord of it all. People are 30% more likely to give generously to something that they trust. Can I say to you, transparency creates trust. So if there's conversations you're needing, because maybe there has been areas that have been hurt in the past, if you've got caution because of stuff that's happened, if you're critical, have the conversation. You're never going to be looked down upon. There's no judgment. There's no condemnation in Christ. Just have the convo. What happens here? Where does that go there? Why is it like that? Just have the convo. And the cool thing is transparency enables trust of heart. And then that enables us to continually take confidence in trusting God. So number three is we don't trust God. Reason we don't tithe is we don't trust God. We put our trust in money and material world before we put our trust in God. You say, no, I do trust God. I just don't with the tithe. You know what we're really saying there? Say we earn $1,000 in a week. And so therefore 10% of that, $10, that's not good maths. $100 is then the tithe. And we say, oh, hang on, but I can't because of all these other things in my world where God's saying, just trust me for that. What we're saying is really, we trust $100 more than we trust the creator of the heaven and the earth to be able to move on our behalf. I know that's kind of like, no, it's not really like that. Well, then how do you see it any other way? If that's exactly what it's like. He's like going, am I not more than $100? Can I not do more than that? And we're so busy looking at what's in our hand that we forget the one who's actually created everything and holds the world in his hand. And he's the one that is able. You know, the world's spinning on its axis like 1,000-something kilometers an hour. Anybody ever prayed for that? Thought about that? Worried about that? You know, when it stops, we all die. You're like, anyone? That's kind of a big deal. He counts the hairs on your head. He knows everything. You're saying, God, I don't know if I can trust you, Lord. Why is that? Because it's a mammon thing. It's a mammon that's trying to get a hold of our heart. As far as I'm concerned, when I gave God my heart, I gave him my all. It's not about actually 10%. It's about 100%. There's been a number of occasions as God's asked us, would you trust me with everything? We have never gone without. That doesn't mean we've always lived in excess, by no means. But we've always had enough. I love what the word says. He says, I've learned what it is to be grateful with enough and in the little. He supplies all our needs. I struggle to understand how we can say, God, you have 100% of me, but we can't steward and honor God with the 10%. Proverbs 3 says this, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Come on, don't lean on your understanding. Your understanding sometimes wants to mess it up and mix it up and make it. Don't trust your own understanding. Trust his word, his infallible word, his perfect word, his promising word. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also, Matthew 6 says. And then the fourth reason is that our mindset is what is mine is mine. The reason we don't tithe is because what's mine is mine. Can I just say no? It's all God's. It is all God's. Deuteronomy 10, 14 says this, to the Lord your God belong the heavens, even the highest heavens, the earth and everything that's in it. Everything that's in it actually belongs to him. In a conversation with Job, God says, everything under heaven belongs to me. And Haggai 2, 8, a prophet, he said, the silver is mine, the gold is mine, declares the Lord Almighty. Psalm 24 says, the Lord is the earth and everything that is in it, the world and all who live in it, everything has been founded on the seas established by him. Man, everything, come on, we've got to hear this. Everything is the Lord's anyway. Is everything the Lord's? Is what he's been entrusted something we realize we're called to steward, or is it something that we think that, no, it's mine. Schmeagle, it's my precious. Wow, that's really way too good. I think it's the microphone ability. But no, seriously, it's like that, right? But Deuteronomy, because sometimes we think, yeah, but I generated that. I earned that. I renovated that. That increase is mine. I bought and sold that. I worked hard for that. But Deuteronomy 8:17 says this, you may say to yourself, my power and strength of my hand have produced my wealth for me. But remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives the ability to produce wealth. Come on. So confirms his covenant, which he swore to his ancestors as it is today. Come on, it's God who's given us the ability to reproduce. It's God who's given us the ability to multiply. It's God who's given us that ability. So therefore, we need to realize God is not a selfish hoarder, but he's a generous giver. He's not trying to say, I want you to have less. No, he's actually wanting to unlock more in our lives. See, the thing is that mammon basically says that we have a confidence based on earthly riches, material and money things. The currency of this world is money, and so therefore the spirit of mammon is something that we have to deal with. Do you know that money is just plastic, right? But the moment it touches a hand, there's a spirit attached to it. It's either a spirit of surrender or it's a spirit of unsurrender. It's either something that I go, God, this is all yours at the end of the day, or it's something that I go, it's mine, it's all mine, right? And the thing of it is that we must understand and honor that he is the source of all supply. We must acknowledge that. God, you are the source of all supply. Otherwise, what happens is we start trying to hold on to too tight to that which he's actually entrusted us to be able to flow where he would like it to flow. And we become possessive. We become prideful. And we start envying things that we shouldn't envy. Things fill our heart that should never be occupying our heart. It consumes us. It leads us. It takes a hold of us. We don't direct it. It starts to direct us. Mammon will always seek to take the place of sovereignty every single time we increase. Every time we increase, we have to ask the question, God, we honor you first, and Lord, the rest, where would you like it to go? And as we outwork these principles, I love that. And I love that actually God's antidote and number one principle to enable his kids to live free from the love and the leading of money is the tithe. It's the tithe. It's placing God's authority over our material world. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Amen. So we're going to read Malachi 3 further. We started with the fact that very first powerful four words, that I am the Lord, right? I am the Lord. I do not change. Therefore, you are not consumed, O sons of Jacob. Yet from the days of your fathers, you've gone away from my ordinances, my precepts, my guidelines, my principles, and have not kept them. Then he says this, return to me and I'll return to you. Don't you love that? He's returning like, let our hearts be united, says the Lord of hosts. He always wants our hearts to be united. But you said, in what way shall we return? He says, do not rob God. Will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. But you say, in what way have we robbed you? In tithes and offerings. You are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. Wow, isn't it amazing that it's not just personal, but it's a wealth that flows out of our lives to be able to impact the community around us. That we are stopping the influence and the impact that God can have in our community around us when we withhold it personally. That's pretty powerful. Then he says, bring the tithes into the storehouse that there may be food in my house. He doesn't say, grab a level of tithe and put it wherever you want. No, place it in my storehouse. Come on, his local church. That there may be food in my house. And then he says these amazing words, try me now on this, says the Lord of hosts. Try me now on this. Test me in this. You can test. This is the one area in the Word of God that we can actually test God in. But a lot of us, we won't even test him in it. No, but he's saying, come on, prove it. Let me prove to you how good I am. Let me prove how faithful I am. And see if I will not open the windows of heaven and pour out for you such a blessing, there will not be room enough to receive it. Wow. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, that he will not destroy the fruit of your ground, nor shall the vine fail to bear fruit for you in the field. Not says the pastor on stage, says the Lord of hosts. Come on, it's his backing behind everything we're teaching today. All the nations will call you blessed, for you will be a delightful land, says the Lord of hosts. Come on, that promise is not built on man. That promise is not built on someone with a good ability to write a motivational word. No, that's based on the Lord. I love that he's the one backing it. So I want to look at four significances, or the significance of stewardship. Four things that are significant that God does when we do steward the tithe. Are you ready for number one? Number one, very quickly, it positions us for his promise. It positions us for his promise. Bring the whole tithe into the store, send me food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty. See, I will not open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing, there's not a room to. The tithe is holy. It's holy to the Lord. We must treat it as something that's holy, something that belongs to him, not to us. But when we do, he says, come on, now I can breathe. You open a window in your house, what happens? The wind of heaven, the wind starts to move. It's been stuffy for some of us in the area of finances for a long time. Come on, start opening that window. Let God breathe in that area and all of a sudden revive something in our hearts. We're robbing him not of money, but we're robbing him of the opportunity to move supernaturally in our lives. He longs to move. He longs to bless. He wants to unleash more. Over the natural of our resource, he wants to move supernaturally. But I would say at this time, and I've really been feeling this weight in my heart, I feel like in the church, we've lost the confidence to believe for blessing. Yeah. We've been so timid because we got fearful that it's going to seem like some sort of prosperity gospel. We're not here for what we can get out of it. Come on, when God pours out a blessing more than enough to be able to contain it, that's on purpose. Why? So then it overflows out of our life and it starts being directed everywhere and anywhere that God would like it to go. We are being limited when we stop going, oh no, I don't need the blessing. Oh no, I'd hate that someone's going to think, no. Come on, it's time to ask for the blessing again. Now, if it's only for yourself, then don't ask for it because it'll take you out. But if it's you realize you're a vessel for a channel of God's purpose to move in you and through you, then I'm saying, come on, get asking. We need more rivers. Come on, we need more flowing of the things of God. And I just think, someone, by resisting what God asks from us, we restrict what God has for us. But by releasing what God asks from us, we release what God has for us. We have a God that wants to move mountains on our behalf. But we, for some reason, want to climb the mountain one step at a time in our own strength. And he says, doesn't he say, speak to the mountain and it can move? Speak to the thing and it can rise up? You know, that when we activate God's principles, all of a sudden we enable there to be an authority in the things that God has said will come pass. Personal example, I've shared this a few times, but for us personally, we were on a journey to buy a home, our first home, for about 3 years. And the crazy thing was, it was like every time it came around to like expansion, we kept feeling like God said, just give it all back to me. Give it all back to me. And we got to a point that we had a deposit of about $10,000. And then it was like, okay, God, we're kind of getting our finances. I think we'll be in a position to make an offer at around this much. So we're looking for houses around that much. And then in that moment, we had an expansion offering and God said, just trust it back to me. Here we are again, in a sense, naturally looking like we have zilch. Within about 12 months' time, we ended up in our account with $150,000 from things that we never foresee and never knew were on our way. All of a sudden, we're in a position to buy a home. We're looking for a home. We can't find a home. We're losing out at the auctions. Nobody turns up at the cafe to make coffee. I end up being a barista. Meet a guy in church for the very first time. Find out he lives in an area that we're wanting to buy in. Tell him, hey, we're looking to buy in that area. He goes, I have a house you can have. I'm telling you, coffee team, raise your expectation. We go look at the house. He goes, it's on my farm. You move the house, you can have the house. We're like, relocatable, that was awesome. We go on Gumtree, we find some land, we go there, we walk past this beautiful home, this villa. We go to buy, look at the land, and we're looking at this villa going, we like that. We ask the guy, he goes, oh, I'm a Christian as well. And so then he goes, Nadia says, can we buy that? And he goes, oh, for about, yeah, what do you reckon, how much? He's off about 400,000. We're like, he doesn't know the market. That's easily worth 470 to 500. I'm like, do you take FPOS? He finds out within a week how much it's really worth. But he goes away and he says, it's a God thing we met. We want to sell it to you. We end up buying that house for 70 grand less than what it was worth. 2 weeks later, we get asked, would we move to Melbourne? God has a funny sense of humor. But can I tell you, when you're going, God, we feel there's a promise in our heart, but you keep telling us to keep sowing, keep sowing, keep sowing. It feels like we're more further away than the promise than we could ever be. Within 12 months, we went from zero to occupying a home that was absolutely nothing but a miracle from God. And I don't know about the testimony you want, but I want a testimony that says, then God did this, then God did that, then God did that, then God did that. I love telling our kids, then God did this, then God did that. And the story goes on that if you've ever walked into our home, we'd always introduce and say, here's the house that God built. Because it's not the strength of us, but it is the stewardship. You can't earn God's favor, but you can enable it. And some of us are living on the other side of what God wants to do because, come on, we're not partnering with his promise. This doesn't mean that it's all easy. It doesn't mean at times in the last number of years I've had to work two jobs. Why? Because I've had dreams and desires to do stuff that my weekly income doesn't enable. So you just work a little bit harder. You get a little hustle on marketplace. Oh man, that's cheap. Buy that, sell that, increase, tithe, keep going. Why? Because that's what it's about. I think I've pretty much had a job my whole life since I was 10 years old. But I tell you what, I stand here today not looking at the jobs I've done. I stand here saying, and God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that you always having all sufficiency in all things may have abundance for every good work. Too many times, we might not get to the other three, but too many times we forget the God factor. Zion wants to go on a mission trips later this year. And so basically last weekend, started like doing calculations. Did this calculation and at the moment he's just getting pocket money. He doesn't have a side hustle. And then in that he was like, I'm going to start a lawn mowing business. And so then he worked out if he even mowed a couple of lawns a week, probably still not enough to be able to get there. Because once he puts the tithe in and once he does the seeding and once he does the saving, if he didn't even spend a cent the whole time from now to the mission trip, he said, I'm not going to have enough. I'm still going to be short. And I said, Zion, you're forgetting one thing. You put those other things in place. Now you've got the God factor going. You watch what God will do when you honor him and you just play the part. So we went knocking on doors, giving out flyers. I stood on the street. He did all the work. And there we were at the end of Tuesday having two jobs locked in for the weekend. Well, yesterday he finished his fifth lawn for the week. He's walking down the street with his lawnmower and he has people jumping out of the house going, hey, mister. Do you want to do this lawn? Right? He's probably made around $300 this week alone. I'm like, buddy, we need to be partners. Have you forgotten the God factor? Come on, get back to that place. God, I've been honoring you. I've been trusting you. I've been sowing for you. So I'm believing there's a window that's opening. There's a floodgate that's there. Don't deny the reality of God, what God wants to do. Honor him. And when God's moving, even when it might only seem like a small little drop in your bucket, thank him for it. Glorify him for it. Come on, God, you're the God of all things. I thank you. I honor you. Number two, it protects us from the devourer. I will protect pests from devouring your crops. Your vineyards will not drop their fruit before it's ripe, says the Lord Almighty. Come on, if we don't, the truth of it is our finances don't have his covering. It doesn't have his entrusted blessing and his protection. What we're saying is, I'll protect it. I'll protect it. I don't know about you, but in the last few years, if we haven't realized that things can change on a dime, what we need is not our protection. We need heavenly protection. And in heavenly protection doesn't look like never having lack in your account. It looks like never having a lack of peace in your heart. And everything we've walked through, and the reality of, I don't know. Interest rates, I don't know. But the truth is, we sit here today and go, look at the faithfulness of God. Look at the goodness of God. Come on, let him protect you. Let him guide your heart, guide your mind, protect you from letting things take possession of your heart and things that being the deriving of your passion, but let his kingdom be the thing that leads us in all ways. The enemy does not want you to tithe. It cuts us off from his protection, his provision. He does not want you to tithe. He will do everything he can. Financial freedom as well doesn't mean it's just about not having enough money. You can have more than enough money, but definitely not be living in freedom. Come on, would you find freedom? We have amazing people, in this, and it's so much more than finance. We have people in this church that had life-controlling anxiety, but as they honored God in the area of giving, anxiety broke off their life. We have testimonies of people in our church who had gambling addictions, and God said, would you trust me through expansion and sow a seed? They sowed a seed. The addiction of gambling broke off their life. We have people who've come up to me after services like this, and they've said, you're exactly true. For 3 years, I intentionally stopped tithing, and my world started to crumble around me. Fear gripped my heart. The moment I started tithing again, all of a sudden, there was freedom in my heart, and there's a freedom in my walk with God. I'm telling you, it's not coincident. It's the reality of his promise at work in and through our life. Come on, it's not a magic pill. That doesn't mean that's not challenge. I want to make that really clear. He's not a genie in a bottle that we just wave a wand. No, no. It's about stewardship. It's about honoring him, and it's about following his principles in every area. Does that make sense? Number three, it partners us with his purpose. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse that there may be food in my house. God chose his local church as his vessel here on earth to represent his kingdom the most. And the reality is, when we bring a tithe into the storehouse, we enable the church to do everything the church does. Do you know that if you tithe, everything that happens, every baptism that takes place, every meal that goes out, every moment of worship that happens, every group that's run, every prayer that's been prayed, every moment the kids are looked after, every element is on the other side of people's faithfulness with their tithe. You might instinctively say, well, I don't really want to do that and I don't believe in that. Well, I'll just say, and I don't say this with like heaviness, I say this with like, if you intentionally don't tithe, can you make sure that you really thank the ones that do? No, I'm like serious, because if they didn't, the church you love, the people you've connected with, the family you're part of, I'm not saying this again to be guilty, but I'm saying it wouldn't be here if it wasn't for them. And then I'd say, maybe let us not just go, oh, let's just thank them, but maybe God, would you take me on a journey? God, just take me on a journey. Let it be something that's relational. Let it be something that just step by step. We have this written on our website, which I wrote on purpose. But I wrote this, at Life, we do not differentiate our care for anyone based on giving. Giving is a personal matter between you and God. We will continue to love and support every person who wants to be a part of our church family, regardless of whether they give or not, or how much they give. It has no impact whatsoever by how much loved you are, how believed in you are, how much you are a valued part of this great family, and how much we believe God wants to move in and through your life. Has no bearing. Please know that as your pastor, there's nothing in us that goes, do they? We have no idea. There's no record keeping. I don't know who does. Someone might joke about who's the biggest. I wouldn't know. It's not what we're interested in, but we are interested in people stewarding their heart with God. So I said before, 2 weeks after buying this miracle home, we got asked, would we move to Melbourne? What I love is that God got us the house, but the house never got us. Sometimes the miracle that he gives us can be the thing that we now treat as the God that's in our life. Abraham with Isaac, Miracles finally here. Would you sacrifice your miracle? Am I still God when the miracle comes together? And God said, when we got asked to move to Melbourne and we knew it was a God thing, God said, would you sell the house so you'll go to Melbourne with no plan B? You're not going over to test the waters. You're not going to see how it's going. No, you're going over to build my church. Would you go? And so in that moment, it was as easy to buy the house as it was to sell the house, because it was never about the house. It was about following what God wanted to do. We sold the house 3 months after buying it. It sold for $130,000 more than we paid for it. That's pretty awesome. The Christian couple that we bought it off, I rung them before we decided to sell it. And I said, well, we had already decided, but I rung them before letting anyone else know. And I said, you need to know it's not a Christian doing over a Christian. We bought it with a full intention to raise our kids there for the rest of their lives. But God said, would you go to Melbourne? And in that, he said, no plan B. We feel like we should sell it. He hangs up. We hardly talk. He rings me the next day and he says, the worst thing you could do is sell it for what we sold it to you. You need to sell it for as much as you can, because we believe this is a seed that God's going to enable you to go into that country with something that you've never had before, to make a step and step into what he has on your life. God has an amazing plan. And he wants you to have the same stories in different areas, not just around finances, but in different areas. We move here. We move to Mark Street. The lease every month was astronomical. The house settles the week we land. We've gained $130,000. There's $13,000 of tithe now that we get to steward and place straight into God's kingdom. We didn't have enough to pay the rent that month. The house settles. We tithe. Who knows? There was a miracle to pay the rent that month. And we stand here today as a church on God's faithfulness, because every month after that, through the faithfulness and the willingness and the generosity of hearts, we've seen God build his church. Can I tell you, God wants to build your life. He wants to set you apart. He wants to see his hand move and work in your life. And I tell you again, I pray, if there'd be one other comment, one other thing, it's number four, it provides God's platform for our peace. When we build on God's principles, we build on a rock. When the storms of life come on, there will be a reality that things might be moving, but we won't be shaking. He wants you to have stability in every area of your life. And lordship produces the firmest of foundations. But the truth of it is you'll never see it until you step into it. This might sound a little bit general, but actually, I'll leave that. You might feel a bit of conviction this morning. I'd actually say that's not a bad thing. If you feel condemnation, then that's not right. If it be any word that I said that maybe make you feel like that, then I'm sorry. But if it's conviction, to dig a little bit deeper, or if it's conviction to say, you know what, I really need to start that again. I used to, but I stopped. Or in my previous church, but God's been moving me and moving us as a family. We really feel like this is where God's planted us, but we really haven't started that again. Come on. Be faithful stewards of what God has entrusted to you. Go for it. Set it apart. Let him be holy. Let him make a way. And what we've said as a church from last week and this week is that the reality is we need increased revelation. We need increased teaching around this whole principle. And so therefore, we are giving away Pastor Paul's God, Money, and Me book to anyone who hasn't got one yet, any family that hasn't got one. So one per family or one per couple or individual. If you have got one previously, then don't grab another one, because obviously we want to give these out to everyone who hasn't got one. But today, before you go at the information desk, please just go and grab a copy from us to you and get hold of that. And then don't let it be a paperweight in your house. But let it be something that starts to put principles in your life and go into that. And with your group, let's talk about it. If somebody says, oh, we shouldn't talk about that, pull the duct tape off. We've done that. And let's start unlocking and talking about and getting it outworked in our lives. And then we don't take containers up around our services. And so therefore, it's really a personal activation. And that's why in the seat pocket in front of you, everybody has these way to give card. And then you're able to activate that in a way that works for you as an individual or as a family. You can do that when you get paid and how that works and honor that. And there's a giving station just outside the doors, tucked in the corner. So it's kind of private. And then you can do it how you need to do it, activate it how you'd like to activate it. And therefore, let's get this thing outflowing through our lives. And come on, let's see the windows of heaven open up. Let's see the floodgates moving. Let's see the protection of heaven over it. Let's see the reality of us partnering with God's promise. And let's see God's kingdom come, his will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Can you say amen? Come on, why don't we give God a great hand and just thank him for his incredible pathways and his credible purpose. And I would love just the opportunity, we're about to close in a couple of minutes, but I'd love the opportunity just to quickly extend an invitation. If you're here and you don't yet know Jesus, you haven't got a relationship with God, you're joining us online, and the reality is you're just inquisitive, you're interested. There's been a tapping in your heart going, is there more to life than this? Or I've just felt myself waking and just thinking about God. And so I found this online and you're joining us. I want to tell you that it's not about a whole lot of head knowledge. I want to tell you about it, but it's a heart transformation. It's a reality that God loves you so much that he sent his one and only son, that whoever would believe in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. God loves you. He longs to walk with you. And what I love about God is the one who came 99% of the way. All we need to do is make a decision to believe and put our trust in him. And the Bible says it very clearly. Don't go and get yourself sorted and make yourself good enough. We're not good enough. We never will be. But God is more than enough to meet you, to be able to exchange his righteousness for our unrighteousness. Come on, his mercies for our mess. He can take the reality of our sin away and he can enter in the reality of his salvation. His saving grace can meet us today in this moment. But the truth of it is, I'm not going to force you. I'm not going to make you. But if you're here and you say, Craig, I'd love to start a relationship with God. I'd love to go on a journey of walking with God. Then I'd love to invite you at the end of the service. We're going to have a couple of the team up the front and they're going to be holding this Bible. Thanks so much, Amy. They're going to be holding this Bible up, which is an invitation to say, come see me. And they're going to be there to be able to gift you God's word, place it in your hands, but also they're going to have a moment to pray with you. They're going to lead you in what's called a salvation prayer, an invitation to say, God, I choose to follow you. I've been living one way, but I'm choosing to turn and to follow you. And I want to tell you, it's the greatest decision you could ever make. Nothing this world offers will ever satisfy and be able to take place in your heart, the place that only God can have. He loves you. And we are here to encourage you, to champion you, to go on the journey with you. But if you know that God's knocking on your heart in this moment right now, I'm going to ask you to take 30 seconds of courage when we close, to stand up and just to come. While everyone stands, just come up the front. People are going to be coming up. We're going to have a prayer team here to get prayer in other areas. So you're not going to be the only one moving. There'll be a number of others coming up to get prayer. We love praying for people. But if you know that you need to pray that salvation prayer, just come to someone with the Bible. We'd love to do that. Would be awesome. Can we put our hands together right now for every person? Come on, that's an encouragement to you this morning. That's an encouragement from their heart saying, come on, don't back down. He loves you. He's for you. He's towards you. And so, Father, we just take this moment to say, God, have your way. We love you. Lord, we just invite your leading in our lives. Father, I pray right now for every person that's going to make that decision to get their heart right with you. I pray the peace of heaven would fill them now. And Father, as they take this step, I thank you, Lord, that no eye has seen, no ear has heard the plans of those that for those that love you. And we just declare across all of our hearts, God, we come with a fresh expectation for the hand of God to move. Father, we come here not just to get by and occupy, but we're believing, Lord, for an open heaven. We're believing for new levels of your moving and your miraculous in our lives. Father, we're believing as a church that we'd be filled with a church of testimonies that said, and then God did this, then God did that, then God did that. Lord, that we wouldn't live with just saying, look what I did. But God, all we want to do is elevate. And God, that people would see our deeds, but really they would glorify our Father in heaven. Father, we just pray, have your way in Jesus' name. Father, over every person getting baptized tonight, we pray an open heaven in Jesus' mighty name. And we just say, have your way. And everybody said, amen and amen. One more time, why don't you put your hands together?
We trust that you are encouraged by this powerful message. You always have a place to call home here at Life, and we invite you to join us for our Sunday services at our Melbourne campus. If you're not in Melbourne, then join us for church online wherever you are in the world. Just head to lifeau.org to stay connected and find out more.